Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bono, Julie Hayden, Truth Straight Up. In the second half of the show, we are featured. We're featured.
We're featuring ourselves.
We're featured.
Clark.
Well, our interview. It was our interview of Rich Wadd on last Wednesday, but that went full of meta, and it's been great. And there's a link to our show, so we've got new subscribers to our newsletter and everything else. So thank you, Kyle, and thank Jason Saltzman for following every one of our shows to make sure that if anything interesting is said, that you all attack it. So it's been great.
We'll talk about that. Obviously, we got the stuff going on in D.C. For folks who are listening to this later, they probably already know. But if you weren't paying attention, the House just adjourned after McCarthy lost the sixth round till 6 o'clock Denver time. So we'll be following that. But meanwhile, we have world traveler, talk show host, fill-in commentator, Dr. Brian Doondep with us. Hey, Brian, Happy New Year. Thank you for
your time. Happy New Year to you guys.
Happy New Year. Hey, so many things to talk about. But first, real quick, because I want to talk about your immigration column, which is great. Wanna, since you're a doctor, talk to you a little bit about the M word, myocarditis.
The M word.
But you're kind of, have you been watching what's going on in the Speaker of the House vote at all?
Yeah, six votes and no speaker.
Yeah.
I just saw a funny meme that they do when, you know, you're logging onto a website and make sure you're human. And they had nine images, and they said, which of the pictures has a speaker in it? And there were like three pictures of Kevin McCarthy and six pictures of actual, you know, audio speakers. And those were the boxes that were checked.
Leo says, Julie, wish you would check your email an hour or two before the show.
Sorry, sometimes I don't. If you want to, so Lee, if you want to resend me something to my email right now, I'll go ahead and look. Well, let me, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, because you wrote a great column about, you know, all these sanctuary cities, virtue signaling over the years, Denver's a sanctuary city, et cetera, et cetera. And all of a sudden, now what, I guess since in less than a month, the city of Denver has received almost 3,652 illegal immigrants that they know of that have just shipped here. Twice as many arrive every day as leave. And so Governor Polis and his, well, all the rec centers are filled up. You can't get into a rec center in Denver. You know,
it but seems- it's cool now. They've got different rec centers for different countries. You got the Venezuelan rec center, you got the,
league or something,
yeah, the Castro, Cuba rec center, and it's just great stuff.
And I think what's kind of funny is all of a sudden, you know, the Democrats and the elites pick their victim groups who are in favor. So if you're homeless, man, you're out.
No one cares about you.
Who cares about you if you're an urban camper, yeah, homeless?
The election's over. They've already taken your votes and turned them in as ballot harvesting.
So you're out in the cold. Everything's full now with illegal immigrants. Meanwhile, Jared Polis is taking heat because he put out this thing saying, "In with compassion and dignity,
yes. We
treat all people like that. So, by the way, I'm shipping them all to New York."
Yeah, that's compassionate thing.
Which has kind of annoyed the mayor of New York there. But your take on the whole thing?
Well, it's virtue signaling, and that's easy. It's basically talk is cheap, and you can sound kind-hearted, and it's like the global warming activists that, you know, everybody else should conserve, but they have their private jets and that sort of thing, or they build their homes on the coast. But
right.
it's easy to tell everybody else what to do, and then when it comes time for them to do it, they don't want to because there's expense and inconvenience and danger and all of that. So it's easy to just complain about it and say, yeah, we should be taking all these people, you know, everybody should pay more taxes. I don't get taxed enough. But all these people that say that have
free healthcare,
tax
free
lawyers education. Making sure they pay as little tax as possible. So
right. Well, it's ridiculous too, because I don't know what the, you know, I told this story a while ago. I have a friend when this first started right around Christmas, went to the rec center with her daughters in Central Park, which used to be Stapleton, and she was told it was closed because it was filled with illegal immigrants with Venezuelans. And so her daughter, who's like six, said, are they taking all the swimming pool? Because they just want to go swimming. And she said, she didn't even know. She said, what are they doing here? And how long are they going to be here? And they're like, Denver's saying indefinitely, because that's the reality, right? These people, oh, great. We take them in. They don't have anywhere to go. They don't have jobs. They don't have homes.
Yeah. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with them? You know, wait for them to assimilate at some point where you need housing for them.
Are
they going to go to, you know, Cherry Creek or Congress Park where houses are, you know, the bubble is burst. But where are you going to put these people? $1 million homes? Come on.
Right.
They don't have a plan for it. It's easy to talk about it. And we have a wide open border, and these people have to go somewhere. And it's cruel to just let them in and then let them flounder. And then if you're. Look at it this way. If you're an Indian American and you have parents in India that are Indian citizens and want to come over to visit their new grandchild, it may take them 3 years to get a visa appointment before they can come visit, or a lot of African countries. They make it so difficult for people that are coming here to visit, to vacation, and yet they're letting millions in across the border that are of limited education. They don't speak English. They don't know the culture. They don't have jobs. They don't have a means of support. It's crazy. It's why are we doing this? Why even have a border? Why even have a country? If
we don't have a border,
we
don't.
No,
well,
sovereignty.
We're a
well,
country. We don't. Give money to Ukraine. And
Send $100 billion to Ukraine, but we can't spend $5 billion to create a secure border on our country. No other country does this. I mean, you get a little bit in some of the European countries, they're taking in migrants, but even that's ending because they're having revolts, because all it takes is a few migrants that are criminals that start raping people and robbing and killing, and then what?
And I think maybe though they'll start going back to Venezuela since everything costs so much in Denver anymore, right? Go to the grocery store, you're going to pay 10 cents for a plastic bag.
Yeah, can't they're going to go back eggs. Home where inflation is less.
Yeah, well, they can actually afford to buy gas, things like that, because Suncor, of course, is closing down. So Polis is now he's creating some emergency panel to deal with that.
When you do an emergency panel, you know you're in good shape.
Can increase oil and gas production or anything like that.
But the panel will do well.
Well, I mean,
these politicians are all on record as welcoming it. And that's in my article. I pulled some quotes from them, Hickenlooper and Polis and Hancock. They're all, you know, bring them on in. And okay, you got your wish. Now what? Now all of a sudden they don't want it. They're like the dog chasing the car that caught the car. And now what?
Polis is trying to say, well, we're shipping them out in our kind and humane way because they didn't mean to come to Colorado first anyway. Like they wanted to go to New York. Now, maybe he's right because it's been so cold here lately. But I mean, it's like he knows that, like he's talking to him and said, well, did you mean to come to Colorado? They're like, I mean, some charity NGO shipped them up here, by the way, which is getting paid. I mean, our tax dollars, number one, paid to ship them here in the first place.
Yeah, somebody's paying for all this. This is not free. They're getting room and board and food and transporting them around. That doesn't happen for nothing. But what'll be interesting is watch how the media covers Polis humanely shipping them to elsewhere because they don't mean to be here. Compared to how DeSantis was treated when he sent 50 of them to Martha's Vineyard, and Martha's Vineyard blew a gasket.
Right.
I mean, they can accommodate, you know, tens of thousands every summer.
Right.
Additional to the population, they handle it just fine. And now they've got 50 migrants from that ended up in Florida, and you're sending them to one of the most beautiful spots in the country. And it's like, oh, we can't have him. And DeSantis is terrible and he's mean. Polis will not be accused of that.
Jacob says Israel takes people from Ethiopia, China, Japan, Europe, and even the USA. Yeah, but nobody from the Gaza Strip, nobody from the West Bank, nobody from Arab countries who's not Jewish. Every country protects their own borders, and Israel is no different.
That's
correct. No different.
Well, and, no. And even when you see the kind of numbers, and you know, I would submit, but actually, I mean, the folks in the border towns are like, we've been seeing these. This is nothing. You got 4,000 in Denver. That's nothing. That's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, and how many in El Paso?
Right. Right.
Totally overrun.
Right. Well, and I mean, that's what does Denver think, or these sanctuary cities, you know, what do they think was going to happen? Because Denver is like, you know, they're trying to find the ones that they're going to ship them to New York. And then they're trying to find, what do you do with these people? So they figure they're sheltering 1,800 a night, just like every night. Right.
Cool.
But more are coming in. So double that is coming in, they're saying. And what do these people do? I mean, at 9 o'clock in the morning comes, they get up, they feed them, and then they don't have anywhere to go. They don't have, like we said, a job. They don't have a family here that they're going to go live with. What are we going to turn them loose on the streets? And you know,
sure.
Well, the homeless people complain. I mean, it's ludicrous.
Battle of the homeless versus the illegals. And it is a massive brawl.
You want to migrate to another country, you have to have proof of assets. You have to have a job. You have to have a job offer. I lived in New Zealand a few years, so I kind of know how it works down there. And you can't just show up and say, hey, I'm going to work or get a job. You have to have a job offer, and it's got to be a job that there's no Kiwi that can fill.
Right. Well, so there's
a process.
And why would these people even want to get a job? They get free everything anyway, right? They get free. It's like, what do you, I mean, we have, you know, the young people of America don't want a job because it interferes with their free time.
That's
you know?
True.
And they don't get all the free stuff. Well, where do you say, Biden says he's promising that he's going to go visit the border next week. Now, I'm not sure.
That should be fun.
I don't know if he means he's going to Niagara Falls or, you know, I'm not sure.
He's going to the border of Delaware and Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
That's his border.
Where do you see this? I mean, I don't see it ending, because no matter what the court said, you know, postponing getting rid of Title, was it 42? No one's stopping them. And the people figure that out. Nobody's stopping them. The NGOs are getting money. The little money gravy train is rolling now. I mean, I don't know why Denver thinks that they're not going to continue to get 4,000 illegal immigrants a month.
No, let them. I hope they do. Just keep, you know, and nothing's going to change until it overwhelms the system and people, you know, get pissed off enough to protest or think about voting differently. I don't have much sympathy for a lot of the folks in Denver because they voted for all this.
Right, right.
You know, well, Trump does mean tweets, so we're going to vote for Democrats that do this. Well, then don't complain. You're getting, the voters are getting what they asked for as well. So
and you're getting new voters.
But the problem is, this is where I get annoyed, though. You bet that those people, they don't understand, well, we're crossing out of Sanctuary City, Denver into Westminster, right? I mean, or Sheridan or Inglewood. I mean,
Westminster's become refugee city itself. They want to deal with the homeless in a compassionate way, and it's working out great. Just working. You have a Republican admit, you know, Republicans get elected and they become Democrats. It's an amazing.
Oh, exactly. That's well, people are going to get fed up and just leave. And it's going to be like the exodus from New York, that the people just vote with their feet and get out of there like they're doing in California. But these border state governors could be doing more. What's Greg Abbott's finally woken up and going to do something. Where's he been for 6 years?
Yeah, I agree totally with that. Everybody's all very conservative. Like, what? What are you doing?
I guess he's putting a barbed wire fence up now.
Oh, great. Yeah, about just in time.
They don't do anything. They're big talk. And then Ducey in Arizona, what's he done? Nothing. So it's you know, they're disingenuous. And now they're getting it and deal with it. You asked for this, so deal with it. I don't have sympathy for the officials and the people affected by this, especially if they voted for this. You're getting what you wanted. If you vote for Democrats and your taxes go up and you get inflation, don't complain. Yeah. You had a choice and you made it. So
you get the streets filthy. You get the homeless. You get everything else.
You
kill the oil and gas industry. Well, just celebrate your victories. I mean,
Well, they're gonna. It's gonna overwhelm the system, and something's gonna break, and there's gonna be crimes or something. It's not until somebody important gets killed by one of these migrants that anybody's going to pay attention. It's like NFL player that
right now, you know, we only have
had a cardiac arrest a couple days ago. It's How many other people have had cardiac arrests and died in their sleep?
Exactly.
Nobody gives a rat's you know what, but a NFL player, and now all of a sudden it's news.
That, and actually that's a perfect segue, because I wanted to ask you about that too, because I had a couple, I have a couple of technical questions. So we're talking about, I'm sure everybody in the universe saw the collapse on the field of DeMar Hamlin is in critical condition, apparently in a on a ventilator. It's not looking good. Had some, they said he had a cardiac arrest, which could be caused by a number of things, but no one is allowed to say the M word, myocarditis, right? We have to say whatever he died. All these doctors on TV are saying he died of that coma, whatever it is.
The commotio cordis, you know, so it's, and that's typically in younger folks, and it's not as, it, you know, blaming it on the tackle in football. Yeah, we all watch the play, and you see that 100 times every NFL game for the past 100 years, every college game. It's like, wow, you know, the two players collided. It wasn't a helmet to the chest. It was a tackle and collision. That's the nature of the sport. And if and this has never happened in the NFL, apparently, this commotio cordis.
No.
So, you know, all of a sudden, this is a once a century event.
Right. Well, and you, what bothers me, and I want to, first I want to ask you a practical question. So as I understand it, myocarditis is an inflammation of the heart muscle.
Correct.
Could they, do they know already whether that's what's going on or not? Would that be something, could you identify that through a physical exam, I would assume, of him, or how do you
probably not. It's hard to detect. You can, you know, there are enzymes that signify cardiac damage that maybe, if they checked right after the booster or any vaccine dose, you'd, you know, see elevated troponin levels. And there have been some studies that showed that, but they didn't really look closely for that. And subclinical myocarditis means you don't know it. You're not going to find out until you're stressed. It's like a shaky foundation. You build a house or a building, and the structure or foundation's not so hot, but you don't know until there's a tremor or, you know, wind or something
that
stresses the system. Otherwise, it's fine.
Right. Well, what,
and that's why they put you through a stress test, right?
Yes. Well, it's, you know, and I don't know what they do with athletes, but you hear of they're not letting high school athletes participate unless they get a clearance from a doctor. And I don't know, you know, you just listen to the heart and you're probably not going to hear anything. You have to,
well, no, but having gone through a couple recently, you got the endograph, which is like a sonograph, kind of like a pregnancy. Then you go through a chemical stress test where you don't, you know, they used to put you in a bike. Now they don't do that. They just shoot you up. And all of a sudden you just felt like you ran a marathon. And you get huge headaches and everything else. But if they want to test it, they can test it. I mean, they won't, not going to do it to this guy. I mean, he's under enough stress already.
Yeah, just make you watch CNN for an hour, and that's enough of a stress test.
What about, though, I mean, because I know that sometimes there are things that they can't tell, and except through an autopsy. But is this myocarditis, is that something that can be diagnosed outside of that? I mean, and you know what I'm trying to ask?
I'm not a cardiologist, so I'm not an expert on this. But if it's the subclinical, you know, you don't know. That's what subclinical is. And that's what Peter McCullough and others are talking about, that it's, there's damage, but you don't know it until your heart is stressed. So yeah, you can do a stress test, but they're not going to, every athlete's not going to undergo a cardiac stress test.
Well, and then you'd hate to have it be, oh, look, there was one. Yeah, you know, yeah. I mean, that would, well, because that raises another point that I want to get to in a second. I guess I'm going to ask you about this. I mean, if I'm in the NFL, there has been, and it's coming out from other countries now, and Alex Berenson does a great job talking about it, apparently some clear indication that the vaccine can be connected, at least, to an increase in myocarditis cases in young males, right? And so
that would explain all these young athletes, the soccer players and whatnot.
Right.
You know, collapsing.
Right. Well, and so if I'm an NFL player, you know, I know they have to be so politically correct and woke now. But I mean, I think I'd be banging on the NFL's door saying, hey, we need to get some information here because I want to know what my risk is of something like that.
I'm sure there are a lot of them that are worried because they've been fully vaccinated. They may have had boosters and they're like, this could be me. I could be next. And they don't want to. I mean, they're
and they were forced to. If you gave a false card, you know, they did all penalties on you. It wasn't voluntary that you took the vaccine.
That's correct.
Absolutely forced on them.
That was forced, and that's your terms of employment, and not only there, but you know, airline industry, healthcare, all sorts of places where it was basically, you want to work here, this is what you do.
Right. Well,
they should be investigating to poo-poo it. That's not good medicine. You're seeing a safety signal out there, and when they see safety signals with other things, the first thing they do is investigate. There are a lot of drugs that have been approved, and then Vioxx and other things that there's a safety signal. They do more research and dig into the data and find out, wow, this is
unacceptably
high risk.
What you don't hear very often is that two-word phrase, good medicine.
No, it's terrible. And everybody's afraid to say anything, because you say anything, you know, lose your license. California, now it's they have the power to take away your license if you're questioning anything.
Right.
What kind of medicine is that you can't question? Medicine will not advance, and if that's the case, you know, we're going to go from first world to third world healthcare very quickly if that's the attitude.
Well, and I think that's what I wanted to ask you too, because it seems to me when you look at the tweets, immediately all the mainstream doctors and the mainstream media, you're not allowed to even mention the possibility of a potential myocarditis, right? It has to be this other thing, even though none of these people have examined the guy. Or the hospital is being extreme. I mean, they aren't saying anything about it except that he's still in critical condition. But you look at how they're clamping down, just like they did on possible alternative treatments for COVID, on questions about the vaccine. You're not allowed to say or question anything. I mean, what has that got to be like if you're in the medical community? I mean,
Well, it's horrible. How do you give care to your patients and advise them if you're not allowed to say anything, because it's what you'd see in the Soviet Union. You will not speak ill of dear leader or the government, or you go to the gulag, and that's the same here. You can't say anything, and you're complicit. You're looking the other way. I hate to draw Nazi analogies, but it's the people that saw what was going on and just didn't say anything because they didn't want to get involved, because next it would be them.
And it
creates that kind of fear where you can't speak up. And this was all collusion between government and social media, as we're learning from the Twitter files. It's like every government agency and cabinet department was colluding with social media to suppress. And Adam Schiff tells, I don't want, so-and-so. I want a ban from Twitter because he's saying mean things about me.
Can you prescribe ivermectin today in Colorado?
I don't know. That's not something I'd prescribe as part of my practice, but I think it would be difficult. I'm sure.
It is very difficult, because I had an incredible time. I go to all these doctors and they go, I'm not allowed to do that. So I finally went up to Wyoming. So wherever our medical establishment here in Colorado is, it stinks.
Well, it's like that in a lot of states. You have to do it. You know, the way you get it is one of the doctors, part of America's frontline doctors. You do a telehealth consult and it's all legitimate and you pay for it, and they send in a prescription and they send it to you and you have it. And that's nuts. We use off-label drugs all the time. I do injections for macular degeneration, diabetes, with a drug called Avastin, which is cheap, and we've been using it for 20 years, but it's off-label. It's not FDA approved for what I'm using it for, but it's standard of care, and it's first-line therapy, and insurance companies want us to use that first. To say it's off-label and you can't use it, come on. We do a lot of things.
What are some of the comments here? I mean, who was this? This is from Jacob. He said he was talking about the Glenn Beck show on Tuesday. Says that this was the result of the vaccine. The NFL is finished because they force all the players to take the vaccine, except Aaron Rodgers. 749 young athletes dead so far. I think I was seeing some statistic like 1,500 young athletes have been diagnosed with myocarditis. Charlene, a video from a heart surgeon, the myocarditis interferes with the electrical impulses in the heart, causing heart stoppage. And then she says, we're the experimental group. I think, and then Charlene, thinking about all those young football players whose heart stopped from direct hits to the chest before COVID, you never heard of it till now. I think you kind of heard of it. One thing I would say is, once I know as a reporter, our, you know, common sense tells you once you start thinking about red cars everywhere you go, suddenly you're seeing red cars, right? So once you start looking at unexpected deaths and things like that, all of a sudden you start seeing them all over. But there does, but it goes back to what you said earlier, though, but there have been some. There does seem to be a connection. And you would think the medical community, the CDC, rather than worrying about transgender, you know, discussions in elementary schools, would be saying, you know, we actually should try to get to the bottom of this, don't you think?
They are so bought into this narrative and so invested in the narrative that they push, they can't. They lose all credibility, but they've lost that credibility anyway.
Well, if you look
at the numbers of these athletes dropping dead, people have looked at that. And you go back, you know, 40, 50 years, and you have an equivalent number in the past 2 years. So, so how does that happen? It's
well, if
you know,
today,
50 years worth of deaths you've happened in 2 years, and what's changed? You know, global warming.
It's climate.
CDC said we just did an extensive investigation, and here are the results. You'd throw it in a waste can. I have no trust in this. Zero. You know, I have no trust that it's honest, that it was done properly, that it's, you're all not crooked, and you're not paid off by FBX or somebody else.
Yeah. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. It's your imagination, and that's and they control the media. There's collaboration, and this is a lot bigger than just Twitter. Google is taking down links that are unfavorable to the narrative. Soviet style censorship, where the old Soviet Union, you couldn't get Western books, and you couldn't get Western radio, and you know, it's worse than that,
as you mentioned, what they do is they cancel you, they shame you. I mean, if you're a doctor, we saw what happened to some of the doctors who spoke out, right? And if you're just a doctor, you know, like you, I mean, not only do they want to silence you, they want to crush you.
Well, so, Fauci said that much in his emails. So we have to stop this Barrington Declaration, guys. Not just stop it, but destroy these people. And Fauci kind of goes, me? Why is anybody blaming me? I'm Mr. Science.
Let's see what the Fauci files when they're released this week. Yeah. Elon Musk promises that, and you know, they had a whole narrative that they lied about, and it's, you know, their credibility is not there, because 1 month we heard about how masks don't work, and then it was mandated, and they all change their tune on a dime of the mandates and recommendations and lockdowns and closures. And when have we done that before? And Fauci was not honest about the death rate. You know, he overstated it by a factor of 10. And, you know, Congress got panicked and the White House got panicked. And, you know, Fauci had the bully pulpit to talk about that. And if he gave them bad information, well, what's politician going to do? They don't want it on their watch. And if they've been warned and didn't do anything. So
who's going to be the next Speaker of the House now?
Going circling back in the final few minutes.
As long as it's not Liz Cheney.
I know. We watched Yellowstone last night. I say they should have Beth Dutton be Speaker of the House. Yeah, so do you watch Yellowstone at all?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, if you did, for people that's Beth Dutton, she
beats up everybody.
She takes no prisoners.
Well, you know, McCarthy doesn't have the votes. He doesn't have the support. And, Trump endorsed him, but who knows? I don't know what Trump's thinking is, if he has other... He knows more than what's going on. I don't know.
He just doesn't want to be blamed for it. He doesn't want to say, okay, vote for him. They're still not voting for you. Okay, can't be my fault.
I was suggesting Trump should go down there and help negotiate the deal. And I'm like, if you're Trump, you got enough. You know, you got enough things.
He wants to stay distance from that. Yes, that's not for him to get involved with. But, you know, Jim Jordan,
no chance.
Who knows? No. I just hope there's not
another Paul Ryan.
A couple dozen... You know, Adam Kinzinger, Liz Cheney type Republicans still in the House that vote for Jeffries.
Yeah, well, last time the Republicans had a speaker, McCarthy was the prohibitive favorite. They wouldn't vote for him, so they brought in Paul Ryan.
That turned out great.
I mean, that turned out just beautifully.
Who's now working at Fox, by the way, I think is not a coincidence when you look at their coverage. So, well, listen, Brent, thank you for your time.
This was great.
What you got working on next?
I'm going to probably write about the myocarditis business and just the suppression of medical information. A lot of what we've been talking about, and how just it's bad medicine to not have a free flow of ideas and challenge. Medicine has always been about challenging existing dogma and finding new and better ways. Otherwise, we'd be in the dark ages of so many of the things we treat.
Right.
And to censor people for speaking out, you know, these guys don't own the knowledge. Medical knowledge is not owned by the government and some bureaucrats.
But if you call yourself
what's
Mr.
true and
science,
what's not.
Yeah.
If you call yourself science, I say, I'm science. You go, oh, okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody got their tonsils out and hysterectomies and all these things once upon a time. That guess what? We don't do that anymore.
Right.
Because the science has changed and people challenge that and say, why are we doing that? And things stopped.
Right. And things are cyclical. I remember, you know, okay, when I don't remember this part, but when I was born, I think my mom was knocked out and they came in at the end. Right. Now, when I had my daughter 36 years ago, the big thing then was no medicine. Right. You just no pain medication, no nothing. Right. You're not a woman if you did that. So I was surprised when I had read, the first thing they said is, you want to be, you know, you want to pain, you know, a block and things like that. It's just so funny.
At first she said no, and then had first wave of pain game.
I want the epidural.
Yeah, stuff like that is one thing. But to me, when you're looking at things that this could be, I mean, if I'm an NFL player, I want to know if it's possible that because you forced me to get a vaccine, I might have myocarditis, which means I could drop dead on the field like some of these other people.
I'm going to tell you.
I know.
Well, there are players that are questioning whether they should be playing and thinking of, you know, I don't need to be doing this. So it'll be interesting to see what the fallout is, because this has brought it to the forefront. And this player had his heart stopped a couple more times, which is not commotio cordis. I mean, that's a one-time event. You're resuscitated and you're fine.
Right.
So this is something else. And, you know, we'll see how he does. And if he's got to live through this, and is there going to be, you know, brain damage from lack of oxygen? It's not like, you know, they can resuscitate him immediately. There's a delay in hospital and all that. And it's very unfortunate, but it is going to raise awareness. And a lot of athletes, not just football, but, you know, others are going to be like, wow, this could be me. And is it worth it?
Right. All right. Well, Brian, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Great. Good seeing you.
Happy New Year.
That's great.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
So Jacob says, let's see how many players take the field on Sunday. Charlene says, Dr. Doondub, you're a brave soul. Jim Jackson says, yes. And then he wonders if the Beth Dutton character would have an epidural only in real life. That's true.
Not because
she can't have children.
She can't have children. That's why she's a bitter.
That happened in this. I find it reportedly feds have now gone to the hospital where Damar Hamlin is, which is interesting.
Oh, that's good. They're good. They're there, right?
There's a Paul Pelosi thing going on. Initially, what the uncle came out and said that, yes, they had to resuscitate him in the field, and then they had to resuscitate him again at the hospital, right? Now, a spokesperson has come out and said, no, they only
represent establishment and
resuscitated him once. Like Paul Pelosi, the police opened the door, but that didn't look good for their narrative. No. Like, no. So who knows what's going to go on there? And obviously, yes, you pray for the young man. You pray for all the athletes and all the people who were put in the position of having to choose, you know. And I just think,
all the people who have had it. I mean, you know, they thought it was a good thing. I mean, athletes, I mean, you know, soccer players really do not go under enormous. They're not like marathon runners or some other things, or hockey players who wouldn't do enormously. You know, soccer players certainly run around, but my God, is everybody go, I can't run. I'm not moving. That might put a stress on me.
Right. Well, we're going to switch gears now. Talk a little bit. For a few minutes, we want to talk about the speaker race. Because I know, and this is from Leo. Leo, I apologize. I didn't get your message. Your message before was the Dems should vote for the rogue candidate and get them elected, which would F the rhinos. Yeah, I'm not sure how this is going to play out with the whole thing. But I do, one thing, you know, when everybody starts using the same word all at once, you know that it's a coordinated attack. All of a sudden, overnight, this became chaotic. and it became confusing and embarrassing, even in the conservative media. And what I want to play,
even in the conservative, like there is the conservative
Fox
media.
Yeah. Play, I mean, Lauren Boebert is doing a good job on this.
Oh, I think
and
too.
I think she kind of explained, and now Brett Baer did not like to hear this.
Oh, no.
But she was kind of explaining what the holdup is. So if we could please play the Lauren Boebert soundbite.
In negotiations with Kevin McCarthy since the summer. Unfortunately, in the summer when those negotiations began, we were not taken seriously because our votes didn't seem to matter as much as they do in this slim majority now. We have had increased conversations, and I have been working for months behind the scenes to create unity. Just last night, two colleagues and myself walked into Kevin McCarthy's office and presented him a very common sense proposal, a deal that got him 218 votes, the gavel on the first ballot, and he smugly rejected that. And it was very common sense things like putting forward a border security bill, putting forward a term limits bill, having a measure in place to where any member of Congress who offers an amendment to reduce the federal debt, well, that's made in order. And there were so many other things that were common sense.
And I don't understand why Kevin McCarthy, well, I kind of do, but why Kevin McCarthy won't just agree to that. I mean, why not just say, okay, if it's going to get me to be Speaker of the House, I'll give you money to investigate.
Because he has another side of Rhino leaders and donors and so forth saying, you do that, we'll withdraw our support from you. It's not a matter of him being just, and Leo said Fox News is completely behind
McCarthy.
You get Warren,
this is because he's a globalist puppet.
Yeah, you should have seen Chip Roy, who I think is great. I had not appreciated him enough in the past, along with Laura Ingraham, and she kept saying, and he did it great. Saying,
and I agree with Charlene, says it's democracy in action. Beautiful. Well, I mean, number one, once they actually do choose a speaker, which I'm assuming they eventually will, all of this will be forgotten, except Kevin McCarthy, of course, it will remember. But I mean, the country, they'll move on doing things to screw us over. Just sometimes you're like every day that they're not doing something, maybe. Right. But so what's the big deal, right? Again, all these conservative people are like, and the rhinos and the mainstream media are like, it's embarrassing, it's chaos. It's like, you know, all kinds of things. And I think Tucker Carlson hit it right on the head. And he's like, yeah, you know, if we could please play the Tucker soundbite.
He's great.
Mm-hmm. By now is being described, especially online by many, as embarrassing. And it is embarrassing if you prefer the Soviet-style consensus of the Democratic Party's internal elections, where votes are merely a formality and all the really big decisions, the meaningful ones, are made years in advance by donors. Oh, of course, everyone's on board. That's what they do. But if you prefer democracy to oligarchy, if you prefer real debates about issues that actually matter, it's pretty refreshing to see it. Yes, it's a little chaotic, but this is what it's supposed to be.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's like, they're, you know, if Kevin, I mean, there are ways that they could get out of this, and everybody's trying to have their side win. But it's like to pretend that we shouldn't even be having this, and that somehow, and again, it just shows you what you look at who is, whether you're for McCarthy or not for McCarthy, but all the people who are upset that this is being played out, that people.
I'd love to hear from people who regularly text into us on our thing. Are you for McCarthy or anti-McCarthy? I'm anti-McCarthy. I mean, I hope he doesn't get it. I'm pro-Boebert. Either you're Boebert or McCarthy. How many of you are for McCarthy? How many of you are for Boebert? I'd like to find out.
Okay, Leo says anti. Well, yeah. Actually, I guess I didn't pay that much attention. Dr. Donna says she's not for. And then Jacob says, why are people who are anti-McConnell pro-McCarthy? So it does seem somewhat the flip side of the same coin there. Well, and again, what's the problem with the things that Lauren Boebert is suggesting, right? Jim says McCarthy is Pelosi light. Yep. Dr. Donna says gobble, gobble. There you go, Pelosi light. Well, yeah, and it's all about power and control, I think. And it's like, why not give him some committees? Why not? That's like Tucker Carlson says, a couple of things people want is let's investigate what went on with COVID. Let's investigate what went on with Twitter and the social media.
And this is the time that Donald, who's the present kind of candidate, and he said, you know, before the speaker couldn't just kill everything. Pelosi did it to gain power. Now we want to turn it back, and they're going, no.
Right. Again, I think as they've said, you know, Charlene said, and I agree with this, McCarthy, I think, is much more of a puppet, right? And that's what's going on here. They don't.
He's just a squish. He just, you know, he doesn't really care. And
well, it's uniparty stuff, right?
Yeah,
He just wants to have his power and control. He doesn't want to rock the boat. So we'll see. I don't know what's going to happen, really. I don't know. It seems to me a common sense thing would be for McCarthy to go to the Freedom Caucus and say, okay, here are some things that I'll do for you. Will you vote for me?
But he's not his own agent. That's what you don't get.
No, I will explain that.
Well, he's got donors. He's got people giving millions and millions of dollars that all his power is dependent upon that don't want some things. Like, they don't want budgets opened up. And they don't want deficit reduction. They're recipients of deficit spending. So he's got a whole group of people that he's got to answer to. And if it was just up to him, you got whatever you want. And once you become speaker, you screw everybody.
Right.
But he's not, because there are at least enough people the donors control. So if you do that, we'll vote against you.
Right. Well, and as Charlene said, McCarthy is caught on the World Economic Forum crossroads.
Yeah, exactly.
Who is it that doesn't want us to get to the bottom of the censorship stuff going on in social media?
Yeah.
Who is it that doesn't want us to get to the bottom of the whole Biden, you know, crime family stuff? Who doesn't want to get to the bottom of what's actually going on with
and
the money
ones
going
that
to
really
Ukraine?
Make me sick are the good government Republicans who you know, on 7/10, we've got to govern. Yeah, you've got to. Yeah, that's okay.
The mic up, and does somebody want to comment? If you do, go ahead and jump in.
Hey,
Barney.
Yeah, so let me talk to you about McCarthy.
Okay.
Mark Levin used to call him and Scalise mental midgets. It doesn't have to go any farther than that. So before we talk about the speaker, what did you butt clowns get from the Ukraine deal? Or what are you going to get? I want to see tax returns. I want to know what the payoff is to the U.S. senator that signed on to that load of crap, the $2 trillion. McCarthy is the swamp. He's stinky sewer water. I think this is awesome. I've never cared much for Lauren, but I'm kind of liking her now. So, right. You know, and I'd like to say to Randy, I held back, but what party? What GOP? Have you taken a look at the National Party lately? Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy? No. McCarthy's got a butt kiss lip lock on Liz Cheney. He's got a lip lock on McConnell's ass. Hell with them. Screw these guys. I don't care who the speaker is. I don't want McCarthy. I'm done with these guys. And it's time for a new party. Sorry. National Party is effed up. You really think that our state party's going to matter? It's not. It's a joke. You name the party, Chuck. You tell us who to join. But I tell you right now, it's not the GOP. You know what? He is a. I love Matt Gaetz calling him a squatter. That's
right.
Freaking awesome.
Oh yeah, that's funny. He's like, why is he in that office? It's not there. All right, Barney. Thank you for that. I just realized the time. We want to talk about how we were famous. We were famous. We were attacked.
Oh yeah, that's. I'll get out of here. I can unmute. I know how to do this.
So
love you guys.
We didn't even know about it because nobody watches Channel 9 anymore until Peter Boyles called us up and said, are you guys worried that Kyle Clark's attacking you? And we're like, what? So we had Rich Wyatt was on the show last week. And in his typical Rich Wyatt fashion, and Rich has been saying this for years, really, it's time to go from ballots to bullets. Now, Rich was, and then he quickly, if you listen to the show, that was a historical reference he was
Lincoln.
Making.
And Lincoln saying, if the ballot is no longer a valid thing, then you have to go to bullets. And he was talking about the Civil War. And that's what Rich was talking about, that if the ballot is no longer honest and something you can rely on, what else do you have?
He wants to kill people.
He wants to kill me. Rich wants to kill me. I'm Kyle Clark.
It's pretty funny. So we get in touch with Rich because Rich says, yeah, Kyle Clark wanted to come in a show. And Rich said, no, I won't come on the show. I'll debate you. And Clark said, no. And then Kyle Clark said, well, if you ever get a show, I can come on that. And Rich said, I already had a show. And
I had a national show. I'm like a little local thing.
It's like, but in attacking Rich, they somehow decided to take shots at me and Chuck as well.
How dare they?
Complete irony of the whole thing. When you go to the story, and don't go to it because I don't want to give them any clips.
Go to it. Go ahead. Go to it. They
don't show Chuck and Julie. They don't show Rich Wyatt.
And they almost die. Robin is stealing all our thunder. What the hell is he doing here?
Yeah,
I played the whole video when he yelling and calling people asswipes and stuff. I'm kind of like, wait a minute. He got enough credit. He shouldn't get credit for this.
It's like, if you do that. So, but here's the thing that I want to say. I mean, there are a couple of things to learn from this. One is, I'm sure, you know, Kyle Clark isn't listening to our show.
No.
I think it's that same Media Matters people
it's
who
Jason
monitor
Salzman. It's Jason Salzman. It's not Media Matters that taking the room.
I kind of feel sorry for them that the world.
Having to listen to some of the stuff on bland talk radio.
Can do that's all they can find to do is because actually the Channel 9 story did mention that Rich it was a historical reference that Rich wasn't
they
actually
did. Actually who wrote the story wouldn't have been Kyle Clark,
right?
They wrote the story with semi okay.
It's kind of funny, but then what they did, the reason they brought Rich in, and this is how you know how biased they are, not Rich, the reason they bring, and first it was an incredibly stupid story anyway, but secondly, well, but you know what I mean, in the overall scheme of things, because it was nothing. First they set it up, Rich Wyatt's accusing, wants to shoot everybody, and those Chuck and Julie people are awful, by the way, and then they're like, well, actually he didn't say that, and then they mentioned that he has a new restaurant, and then they provided a link to our show, so that was
and
nice.
Now we're getting all the, on the link you can sign up for our newsletter, we're getting all these people doing our newsletter, So thank you, Jason Salzman. Thank you, Colorado Times reporter. Thank you, all you wonderful fans, Channel 9. And apparently, now this is the best part. Everybody was so jealous down at 710 KNUS that they're going bonkers. And finally somebody said, well, we've got to get Rich Wyatt on. So 7:03 tomorrow, Rich Wyatt takes on Kyle Clark,
George Brockler.
And it'll be, I hope it's fun.
Well, here's the funny part though. Again, it shows the bias because, and while I love Anil, but we had to give Anil all our time.
His face is everywhere.
Sentence, Anil was all over. But what they were doing is they brought in the take back the GOP rally that Anil spoke at.
Right.
Said some controversial, but totally.
Leo said, set my alarm for 7 a.m. now.
but that had nothing to do with the story, right? That had nothing to do with the Rich Wyatt being on our show story. Zero to do with it. It was like, Chuck knows Anil Mathai, so they're going to...
And Anil Mathai was down at the Capitol, and when Anil Mathai was at the Capitol a month ago,
right?
He was mean to Chrissy Burton Brown indirectly.
And so they used that story, the thing that Rich Wyatt was on our show, they twisted it into this entire anti-Republican Party story.
It was anti-grassroots.
Anti-grassroots.
Not the nice your mainstream Republicans.
No, talk about the bias of Channel 9 too. I mean, okay, do the story if you want. But it is. It's pathetic that they then have to twist themselves into this pretzel to bring in Anil Mathai in because they think now we're going to attack all grassroots people.
Right,
it's like, what? I mean, and again, we're like, it's Neil's picture up there, not even our picture.
Not even our picture.
But, you know,
I mean, okay, put up, you should put up Rich's picture. But if it's going to be part B, I mean.
And Jacob is saying, do you think Channel 9 takes orders from NBC? No, I don't think
they so. They just got sold.
They just got, yeah, I think that's an affiliate, but I don't think they do. I'm not sure.
Apparently we heard on the hush-hush. So we can't tell you, but that some of the people at 9 News had said they're going to quit if they had to work with Kyle Clark. And they said, well, would you work if we doubled the salary? And okay.
You know, here's the thing. And so they do that. They work kind of, they take a story that about a comment Rich made on our show, work in every negative grassroots Republican scenario they can think of into the story.
And they attack poor Julie. Attacking me, everybody does, but poor Julie. She gets attacked.
They attack me. They put in a quote that was
not said to attack you.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, and then they wonder and they get all bent out of shape and Heidi Gnall, and God bless her for saying this. It's like, I'm not going to go on your channel and debate you.
Yes.
They get all bent out of shape that Rich Wyatt won't go on the show.
No, Rich will go on the show, but they go on here.
No. Well, I mean, you know, he would debate him, right? So, and I think even more pathetic is the fact that no one heard it, really. You know,
well,
I mean,
a lot of people heard it.
Well,
we heard it. You heard it. You'll hear it at 7:03 tomorrow with Rich. Rich, and I want to see. You know, that could. Rich is somebody who is. loose cannon was invented when he was born, and it could, he could just be a very polite, you know, conversation, and same with George, and he'll be polite, or it could go off the rails, which we're all hoping for. We want off the rails, right? And actually, Can U.S., if they knew what they're doing, would want to. I mean, nobody. Did you really want to listen to the? You know, he had Lauren Boebert on, but you know.
Well, this is from Leo. Don't attack Julie. You could piss off Barney. You and Leo and Barney. So, and Sandra's ready for Party Friday. You won't be there, Sandra. Well, that's right. Remember, that gives me another segue. You guys can catch all our shows. We're on every pod, if you know, without the video, every podcast thing. But you can go get the links to our Rumble shows at chuckandjulie.com, but also at chuckandjulie.com, links to the Podbean site, which gives you, you know, what, Alexa, Apple, all of those kind of things too.
If Kyle Clark is watching, you should be watching.
Yeah. And Party Friday is coming up. Yeah, the first Friday of the new year. Thank you to Brian Junedep. Thank you to all you great guys on Zoom. Thank you to Anil Mathai.
I'm stealing everything. We're never going to forgive you, Anil.
And thank you to the great guys at BBS. We'll see you all.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.